So you're going to use that opportunity to go and indoctrinate these kids with your street ghetto philosophy.
Certain point, if you raise your level of income to the status of a rock star, then then you got to keep coming up with ways to maintain that status. I'm not even saying eat meat, but at least put some cereal in the milk. Come on. That's like taking 666, the mark of the beast, and redefining it like Biggie tried to do and saying, no, it means this or that. No, 666 is 666. You can call it holy 666, but it's still the mark of the beast. Convenient, whether it's welcome or unwelcome. You, as preachers of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong.
We welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
What God is not. So the internet and social media and our world as a whole, they're just trying to make God common. The thought of Jesus, the thought of God, common. Taking away his majesty, his greatness, and using his name in vain. You know, using his name in vain, we grew up thinking that that just meant don't be cussing with his name. Well, it can mean that, but in vain also means don't vainly use his name or use his name for vanity purposes to be lifted up or to, you know, just casually use it, but you always recognize who he is when you're saying his name. Our problem is folk don't know who he is. Folks always say, remember one year, a couple of years, they had the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. And everybody had the What Would Jesus Do bracelet, but they didn't know what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do is very easy because he's already done it. So you can answer that if you know the Bible. But people take his name for granted, take his name in vain because they really don't know who God is or what his purpose is. So I'm going to show this little video and then we'll go from here.
And I just want to thank everybody again, but most importantly, I want to thank Jesus.
First of all, I want to thank God for allowing me to be here, and none of this would be possible without him, so I want to thank God first.
First and foremost, man, shout out to God, man, for making it possible, you know what I mean?
I'm finally here, baby, you know what I'm saying? I'd like to thank God first, meet my camp, hit after hit, who are rich, D4L Records, we in the building. A solemn, we did it.
First off and second and third, I'd like to thank God, God and God and his son Jesus. How about you?
I thank God, I thank my family.
First of all, I want to thank the creator who gave me the gift to do what I do.
But this is a blessing, man. Shout out to God, man. You know what I'm talking about? Shout out to my family.
I just want to thank the Lord, man. I want to thank God first.
Thank God. Thank Def Jam.
Thank God, everybody in Atlanta.
I gotta just thank God first because he put me, Ty, and YG together to do this.
I want to thank God for this opportunity because I feel like whether the album does well or not, I'm still paving the way for so many girls.
I want to thank everybody in this audience that prayed to see some real music come up this year. You know what I'm saying? We've been fighting hard for hip-hop. I want to thank everybody out here that prays to keep this thing going. I want to thank God Almighty. His glory shines on us tonight, just in case you don't know.
Man, I just want to thank the Most High God for allowing me to use my voice to represent God as much as I can. And when I talk about God, you know, I talk about having fun. I talk about who we are as black people, what we want to do to progress. And like Cap was saying, hip hop is a beautiful thing. We got a big influence on the world.
All glory to God, one time, every time. You feel me?
Life is good and God is even better, man.
Before I get started, man, I want to thank the Most High for making all this possible. You know what I mean? Without him, none of this would be possible. You know what I mean?
Shout to God, Fat Joe, my brother, Trevor Squad. Don't let nobody tell you you can't do it, man. They told me all my life I can't. God is so good.
He knows what the Bible teaches. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. But the truth is under assault in America. As a consequence, so is our freedom, our democracy, our very country, because without the truth, there's no light. Without light, there's no path from this darkness.
If you really care about the lives lost here, then you should honor the lives lost who called for a ceasefire in Palestine.
Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! Ceasefire now! That's all right. That's all right. That's all right.
This is going to sound really, really weird, but I believed at that young age that you could have a relationship with God. And I know that that's kind of old fashioned now. But when I was young, that's what I believed. And so I developed this relationship where we talk 4 or 5 times a day, and we talk about everything, and I'm coming to you when things are well and when it's not well. And if I ask for something, I know when you gave me what I asked for, because it's the only time. So I understood at a young age that I wasn't like everybody else, that I was in a blessed position, and that I had the ability to be able to make things happen if I could find the instructions and follow them.
We're all God. That's what Jesus was talking about. That's what, you know, Buddha was talking about. It's recognizing the divinity in you. What I did as a child, I said, I'm going to, instead of waiting for the Messiah to show up, what if everybody picked up their torture stake and behaved and did the things that they had expected the Messiah to do? What if everybody just for one day walked around and behaved as if they were God himself and did the things that they would expect the creator? Everything is just one great being. Everything's alive. There is no death, but that the Bible talked about a mechanistic world. God took dirt and blew into it the breath of life, and it came to life. But if you look at the Brownian effect, what is breathing? There is no death. There's no death. We're all, everything's eternal.
I have great relationship with God. I have great relationship with the evangelicals.
And I go to church a lot.
Always on Christmas, always on Easter, always when there's a major occasion. And during the Sundays, I'm a Sunday church person.
I like to do the right thing where I don't have to actually ask for forgiveness.
When we go in church and when I drink my little wine, which is about the only wine I drink, and have my little cracker, I guess that's a form of asking for forgiveness. And I do that as often as possible because I feel cleansed.
Ask you, who do you pray to?
I pray to a power greater than myself. And that is the key to prayer. The idea of kneeling down and saying, "Dear God," just those two words, it unlocks, it decodes the ego. I need to de-engage my ego. And just those two words and kneeling down, that is that act. That's the ego has no power over that.
Wow.
So I meditate, I pray, I'm very mindful of the thoughts that I think, so that, because we are extensions of the power. So we are very powerful. Yeah. So the thoughts that you think, the thoughts that I think, they go out into the world. And life says, I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'll be whatever you want. And so that's the life you'll get.
The United Methodist Church in the United States will now officially allow LGBTQ clergy.
Once that prayer is over, it's time to be Sasha Fierce and let all of that nervousness and insecurity out the door.
I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated.
I'm a member of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated.
Well, my Greek organization that I am a part of is Iota Phi Beta Fraternity Incorporated.
Do you really serve God? Look at somebody and say, do you really serve God? This is the question that we must ask ourselves. But it can't be answered with words. Proverbs 14 and 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are what? The ways of death. What a reprobate mind is. Remember, that used to be the scariest thing they talked about in church growing up. God gonna turn you over to a reprobated mind like you didn't have a choice. You're just gonna wake up one day, oh, I got a reprobated mind. That's what we thought growing up. But that's not how it works. A reprobated mind is a person like this that is just basically listening to themselves as God. You've turned your affections to what you want to the point that you create a God to testify of it. Meaning you want something so bad that the God you create is in agreement with you. You're reprobate because the true God of God can't get through to you because you've already got a God. God told his people, don't intermarry with women that go after other gods. Tried to warn Solomon. Solomon messed up because he was liking women that went after other gods. God said, no, they're going to turn your hearts and affections. And what did Solomon do? He started building temples for them, statues, everything. And you know, you'll make stuff right in your own mind. That's a reprobate. You know, they got a new 2024 word for it. They call it a narcissist. But it's the same thing. That's a person that is right in their own eyes. But if you really serve God, you don't answer that. You have to act on that. What you really and truly want out of life will answer this question for you. This is how you know whether or not you serve God, by what you want out of life. If you want fame, notoriety, prestige, or even want to be rich, you're not serving God. Look, can't get no claps. What's wrong with wanting to be rich? Why do you want to be rich? If God can supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, why do you need to be rich? You know what they always say, Jay Brown? Well, I just want to be able to bless ministries and help people. That's not why you want to be rich. No, that's nothing wrong with getting rich if God blesses you with money, but that money can't be your motivation. Amen. Because the love of money is the root of how much evil? All evil if you love money. If you always talking about what you gonna get and what you want and you want more and there just has to be more. Me and my wife have sat down with so many people that are famous now. And that's what they would always say. I just want to get out there. I just want everybody to know me. I want them to know my name. I just want to be famous. Well, you're not serving God. Because God doesn't put that desire in you. God interrupts people and makes them popular. People that weren't looking for it at all. Do y'all know who Paul was? Paul was about 5 feet tall and humped over and couldn't walk well. And he wore rags for clothes. He was real smart, but he was smart because he had physical deficits that made him inferior to people. Even the second book, I think the second book of Corinthians, he starts it out. He's talking about how y'all have selected great super apostles to listen to because of the way I look. Yeah, that's Paul. The one we all read, all those letters. Yeah. God picked the guy that didn't look capable. God likes to show himself great through those that are unassuming. Not Saul, not the man that's a foot taller than everybody else. Go get little Rudy. Little Rudy in the back room. Little David. He was cute, but he was little and Rudy. Go get him. He's unassuming. That way when he does it, when he beats the giant. Now if Saul beat the giant, they almost same height. It ain't gonna look that great. That's like Dwight Howard in the dunk contest. Boy, if you don't go somewhere, you 7 feet tall, I don't want to see you dunking. But when Nate Robinson and Spud Webb dunked, it was like, oh my goodness. Yeah, it looked great, didn't it? Yeah, that's God, that's his approach. So when you're seeking that fame, when you're seeking that notoriety, there's a deficit in you that you want to use it to overcome people's bad perception of you. Yeah, that's all it is. It's not God. That wish to be something, to be great, to get paid, to be out there, all of that. That answers the question, do you really serve God? Because if God didn't put any of that in you and you feel that way, you don't serve him. So what you really and truly want out of life will answer this question for you. If your answer is anything other than God's will, then you serve yourself, not God. Psalms 10 and 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. God has to be in all, look at somebody say, all of your thoughts. How much is all? All. God has to be in all of your thoughts. You can't compartmentalize God. You can't go and get what you want and then stamp God on it. Amen. You can't come out with an album, smack it up, shake it up, flip it, and then get up and thank God for that. You can't collab with them and give glory to God. Amen. Serving God requires us to give up our will for his. Serving God requires us to do what? Give up our will for his. That childhood fame that you dreamed about and you wrote about in your journal, how you gonna be, everybody's gonna know your name. And amen. That wasn't from God. That was from your deficit. That was from what was wrong. You felt less than. You felt inferior. You felt abandoned. And so if you could show the world that you were somebody, you would feel better. Wasn't from God. Because serving God requires us to do what? We give him our struggles, problems, issues, hurts, pains, etc. in exchange for his power. His power to what? To fulfill our purpose. So you exchange what you thought you wanted to do for what he wants you to do. Amen? We cannot claim him without giving our will to him. We cannot claim him without giving our will to him. We cannot just mention him without abiding in his plan for us. We definitely cannot promote sinful things, accept erroneous doctrines, or serve other masters and still serve him. God requires us to give up all to follow him. Amen? Amen. John 15:10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall do what? Abide. There's only one way to abide in his love, by keeping his commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Y'all still with me? People that are angry with God, disappointed with God, estranged from God, or have given up on God, all have missed the point of God. Look at somebody and say, God is not a man. God is not a man. So holding these feelings and emotions against him suggests that you have a misunderstanding of who he really is and what he's done. You blaming him for something a man did. Well, why did you let a man do that? Well, he let you do what you did. Can I get a hand clap on that? That's a good one. That's a good one. I need to hear some hands. That was a good one. Yes, he let you get away with it. You got away with what you thought nobody else saw. Amen. You ran them streets, you should be locked up. All the stuff you stole. All the weed you smoked. Your lungs ought to be talking back to you. And God let you escape that. Amen. And then you gonna hold somebody else to a standard of unforgiveness and God ought to get them? I know I'm preaching. I talked about that this morning on my IG, you know. Okay. Did he beat the girl up? That's bad. Ain't that bad? That's bad. Beating any woman up is bad. It's disrespectful, it's bad. But the name of his record company that made him rich is Bad Boy. What is he supposed to do? He's a bad boy. He made millions and gazillions being a bad boy. All the guys that came and rapped for him, bad boys. The folks against him, 50 Cent, you got a candy store. Nothing but women's bodies, booties in the store. That means they're for sale. That's not abuse. Is exploitation abuse? All the folks in the hip-hop community that's calling for Diddy's blood, they represent the same thing. You call women bees and hoes and everything. You even got the women calling themselves that. They refer to themselves, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B and the female horse. Because a stallion is a male horse. They call themselves that now. Sexy Red is going to high schools. Sexy Red. That's true. And because she was doing it while she was pregnant, now all the girls want to be pregnant. Y'all saw the little girl in the, was that her diploma or something? She was graduating and she got in the mic and said, I want to be pregnant.
I want to be pregnant.
Where you think she got that from? So while they condemning P. Diddy to the underside of hell, bro, y'all all doing it. Y'all are all being reckless. Y'all are all promoting the demise of your own people. Y'all all bad boys. Even the girls are bad boys. And they're going to wait till the man become almost a billionaire selling it? Now you got a problem with him? Can I keep preaching in here? So holding these human emotions and feelings against God suggests that you have a misunderstanding of who he is. This could cause some to believe that God views and treats them like they have been treated by people. It's pretty much what Cat Williams was talking about. When I was young, I had this relationship with God, and I would talk to him, and he would give me things and do things for me. Brother, that's a replacement. Look at somebody and say, God's not a replacement. John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in what? Spirit. It's spirit and in truth. That means you approach him as a spirit. Meaning he's beyond you. And then you approach him in truth, meaning that you acquiesce to what he wants. Since he is truth, we change ourselves to match him. Biden tried to quote scripture. You will know the truth and the... And them folk wasn't letting him have it. Ah, shut up! In the church. That was a church he was preaching in. He preached too, a whole 45-minute sermon. I cut it short. 45-minute sermon, and he said 8 minutes worth of stuff. God does not view things as we do because of his vantage point. Since he is not a created being. Now, it's going to be hard for your brain to catch this. It's really hard for your brain to catch this picture. That picture is so deep. But that's how God sees. In our minds, it's just, what? Yeah, that's beyond our human 3D perception. But God sees the race just like this. Since he is not a created being, his insight is not insight at all. But it's foresight and insight. That's different from your eyesight. He sees the beginning and ending and all past. This is the point. All possible realities and outcomes. Yeah. You know, Doctor Strange and these dudes in these comics, they just copy it. And they're trying to show it, and it just confuses you even watching it. You'd be like, okay, now which reality is this? And why does he, where are they now? Because our minds just can't wrap around it, and God is putting all that together at all times. All possible outcomes and realities. He told the kings, you better inquire of me because I can tell you what's going to happen. Should we go up and do this? If you do, you're going to die. Okay, then we won't. Should we go up this time? Yeah, you're going to win this battle. That's God's knowing all the realities because he knows that you're going to switch what you might have done because now you have a different outcome. And he has to make that match everyone else involves reality. And everyone else involves circumstances. Simultaneously. Yeah, like in here, God has mapped out everybody's eating destinations. And he's placed angels in the way to keep you from having car accidents. He placed an angel in the kitchen to keep you from getting food poisoning. Some of y'all, he said, no, don't put an angel in that kitchen. They need food poisoning because they need to rest for a while. They've been too busy. It's the only way I can sit them down. So go on and yeah, let them eat that. This is God just being God. My goodness. Look at somebody and say, God is God. So you can't bring them down to your human level. First I'd like to thank God. Then Def Jam. God then Def Jam. You don't bring God down to Def Jam's level. Have you seen Rick Rubin? I had to throw that in there. Oh, bring God down to that level. No, but he sees the beginning and ending and all possible realities and outcomes to accomplish his will. Revelations 1 and 8, he says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come. Now, who else is, was, and still is to come? That means he's not finished coming. Thanking God for a stank rap song. God was, is, and is to come. The skewed perception. I got this picture up because they all got crosses on. Even P. Diddy. And Kanye has the God piece on. The two Jesuses. I think I talked about that in the very first Truth Behind Hip Hop or somewhere around there. And Beyonce has the two crosses, and Madonna's always worn a cross, and Old Town Road holding a Bible or something with a bra. He has a bra. He has a bra. How you got a bra and no breast? He has a bra and no breast. Let me be glad I said breast, mother. Now I'm about to get real ghetto. The skewed perception of God today has created a dilemma in our world. When we see him, God, as one that gives us what we want and celebrates us when we succeed, then he is merely a replacement for an absent father, a missing spouse, or the lack of a functional upbringing. Adding God to who we want to be or what we want to achieve makes him a part of our plan instead of us being in his plan for us. Psalms 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by who? The Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Who? The good man. Whose steps are what? So don't be talking about because he failed, I'm not going to be cast down. Can't nobody stop me. No weapon formed against me. No, that's not going to work if you're not a good man whose steps have been ordered. Amen. These gospel artists got some of y'all thinking y'all can just sing anything. And it don't apply to you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That don't apply to everybody. Amen. Amen. Old Town Road can't sing that. Because his steps aren't ordered. When you're out of order, you can't sing that. Amen. That's okay. We should never minimize God. Look at somebody and say, don't minimize God. No, 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 no. But we should always what? Magnify him. To magnify him, listen, means to demote ourselves and place ourselves in a lower position than him. That's magnifying. Magnifying is making bigger. Right? So you make him big by you decreasing. Now, if you're trying to increase, then you make him decrease. And when I say him decrease in your life. Amen. Amen. Consequently, when we choose our own way over God's plan for us, then we have magnified ourselves and degraded our image of God. John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of what? The earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all, meaning he's bigger, so I have to decrease so he can increase in me. That's magnifying. Look at somebody and say, you got to make God bigger. That means less of you. Less of what you want. Amen. Less of who you want to become. Less. Make him bigger. You got to magnify him. The major problem with this perspective is that the more we degrade his image, the more human he becomes to us. This is the problem. He starts becoming human to us. When God becomes like man or worldly to us, then we must operate on our own strength and ability. We start seeing good things as God and bad things as the devil, trusting in our own power. Sometimes bad things are from God. See, somebody, oh, there's no darkness in me. I didn't say darkness. I said bad things. Sometimes the consequences of your actions are from God. Amen. When David committed adultery with Bathsheba and got her pregnant, God allowed the baby to die. That was from God. He told him, I'm going to put your sin away and forgive you, but this baby's dying. But a person that don't really have a relationship with God, they'll say, oh, the devil trying to take the baby. No, the devil had the baby. I know I'm preaching. Devil made you have the baby. But see, that's how we look at it. Oh, it's bad. Anything bad is the devil. Anything good is God. And that's not true. That means you have no relationship with him. That's like a relationship with a father. When he whips you, it don't mean that he don't love you. But he, whoopings hurt. Whoopings are bad. Are whippings bad? They bad. That's bad. But that's not the devil. That's out of love. Amen. Uh-oh, somebody getting a whooping today. Whenever. It's all right. Ain't nothing wrong with a good old whooping. Sometimes you just got to give her just a whooping, just in case whooping. I just feel like you might do something. One in the holster. But yeah, when God becomes like man or worldly to us, then we operate in our own strength. We start seeing good things as God and bad things as the devil. Isaiah tells us, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Meaning, God's not sharing you. He says, I am a jealous God. He'll kill millions of people over false God worship. And he's God, so he can do that. Amen. You gonna question him? This causes many to start seeking ways to succeed without God. Why? Because the ways of God are, God's coming against what I really want to do. It's in my way. I've had people tell me that. I was like, brother, you can't sign that contract. If you sign that contract, you're selling your soul to devil. I mean, well, God always trying to stop. He's always stopping what I want to do. Bro, you know what they're going to do to you when you sign that contract? They got a room just for you with no lights. You got to feel your way through it, and they're going to be feeling too. Yeah. God is trying to protect you from that. You going to do that just for some fame? Won't we deal with your deficit? Won't we deal with what you're really feeling because your father wasn't there, because you were ridiculed when you were young because they said you would. Won't we deal with that? Won't we get to the root of the matter? Why would you go and sell your soul? Seems like whenever I really commit to God, nothing but bad stuff happens. But when I'm gone and finished, when I'm with the devil, I mean, say it. Say it. They don't want to say it. When I'm with the devil, everything just seems like it's going good. Based on your carnal desires? God is trying to clean you up. You know when you real dirty? Remember when you was young? When you was real dirty? When you was little? Y'all don't remember back, but when you was real dirty, you was a little kid, and your mama had to get the dirt off? It hurt. Scratching and scraping when you was real dirty. Yeah, real dirty. Yeah. Yeah. Remember when you had to comb your hair? I mean, raking like this. Bringing it to her. When she turned you around. My daddy used to pick my hair. And he had one of them picks. You didn't know it was a pick till you pulled it apart. So because it was like that, when it sat in there, it just rusted. Because it had grease on it. It didn't have no oxygen to breathe. So by the time you pull it out, the metal is just jagged and rusted. Boy, come here. That don't hurt. He pulling hair, meat, follicles, nerve endings, everything coming out of my head. Man, he be digging, hitting it, bleeding, everything. Daddy, are you mad at me? What did I do? But then when he finished, I looked good. Now, I might not have felt good, but I looked better. Amen? Well, God's chastisement is the same way. You got to go through pain. You got to go through him taking you through something. Listen. Now, listen. Ooh, listen. God's not going to trust you with anything if you don't go through nothing. You got to go through something so God will know you really going to be here. Are you really going to be here? Let me take you through a couple of things and see if you can make it through this. If you can make it through this right here, I'll reward you at the end of it. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. But in the process, I'm working something out of you. I'm cleaning you up. I'm changing the way you used to think. I'm reconditioning you. Surgery don't ever feel good. And there's no anesthesia in God. He gonna work on it while you up. While you alive. While you can feel it out, because he wants you to remember it. Remember how this felt. So you won't do it again. You got to go through this process, man. You can't just claim God and you haven't been through it. This causes many to start seeking ways to succeed without God. They got to go get another God that won't take them through anything. They love Buddha. See, Buddha's the peaceful potbelly God. He got a potbelly. He's peaceful because he can't get up and chase you. He's just peace, peace and love, just peace. Yeah, he ain't going to bother you. He going to let you live like you want to live, do what you want to do. Just as long as you come and say Renge Q a couple of times, you good, you good, you good, you good. Yeah, they don't want the God of gods because God's going to make you responsible. He's going to make you responsible for your actions. And then he's going to make you responsible for what he gives you. When I came up here to this morning and I saw that dude, I already knew what I had to do. It wasn't even like I could just, you know, I know a lot of preachers that just would have went in the back. I have a back entrance. And I saw the cops and saw old dude, and I mean, I saw his eyes when I was passing home zone. I mean, he was just... And I could have easily just went through the back. But I knew, man, now what kind of spiritual punk would I be? What kind of pastor? If I go to the back, I need to just go home. I need to go home. That's how I would have felt. When I walked up, cops said, you can talk to him. I knew I had to talk to him. Amen. But we got to go through these things. This is God trusting us with something. So we can't just frivolously say his name and claim him if we don't really know him. But this causes many to find other gods. This is idolatry at its finest. Idolatry is the sin that God hates more than any other sin because it totally replaces him. 1 Corinthians says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. Idolatry. Idols, parallel tales, the parallel tales about Jesus and all that. Sacrificial systems where you got to sacrifice somebody or something in order to get, move up in the order, a higher order, etc. These were all created to bring God down to man's level so that man can have power and authority without God's intervention. That's why this, you know, you got to go through these systems. You got to go through the Moloch system and you got to read the old books of Solomon, the hidden books. And you know, Solomon messed a lot of stuff up. You know, when you're the wisest man to ever live, you know too much. Solomon knew too much. So he wrote stuff for God, beautiful things that we use. But then he got some dark books that they covet in sacrificial worship. All of these orders, secret societies, all of that, they use Solomon's writings because he taught them how to tap into other universes, other realms. Pineal gland and how to open the third eye and all of these, how to get power. All of these things. He taught them. He knew them. This is why when a person desires fame, control, or influence in the earth, they must turn to what? Idolatry. God's not going to move you up in the ranks of Freemasonry. God's not going to make you the grand poobah of a Greek fraternity. God's not going to use those pagan systems because they're all full of idolatry. They all pledge to false gods. Can I keep preaching in here? Amen. This is why when a person desires it, they got to turn to idolatry. Deuteronomy says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. There's only one God. He's not going to let you do it any other way but his. Amen. Do it his way or hell. Those are the two choices. I hope y'all enjoying this. Mythology, witchcraft, voodoo, zodiac, secret orders, Greek lettered organizations, etc., are all man's ways of creating gods in their own image and likeness to give credence to their own wills and desires. Yeah, all of this you're looking at, this is all created. Folks wake up every day and use a zodiac. Ooh, I'm a Taurus. Yeah. I don't even know the name. Sagittarius. What are you? Somebody told me that. When's your birthday? I was a waitress. When's your birthday? I said, July. Ooh, you a Cancer? I said, I ain't got no cancer. Don't say that. Don't speak that. You know, I get real spiritual. Don't you speak that over me. Don't you speak that. I rebuke that. Ain't no cancer. No, I mean cancer like the crab. Didn't call it a crab. But I ain't none of that. Go in the back and bring me some crab so I can eat and shut up. I'm none of that. That's witchcraft. Zodiac is witchcraft. Look at somebody say zodiac is witchcraft. Zodiac is witchcraft. You obeying false gods, false god worship. They're telling you your destiny and what your day. They're totally replacing what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do. Look, some folks ain't clapping. Yeah, somebody is Sagittarius. They all false gods. Amen. Secret orders. And y'all saw even in the video, they having the Divine Sunday. Okay, now who's divine? Is God divine? Or are the Greek or Divine Sunday service? Who are we talking about? Humans or God? And we're not even talking about humans. We're talking about organizations that are divine. I'm scared of that already. You call the organization divine? It's an entity that is divine and it's not God? The greatest form of idolatry is the will of man. What we want to do. It's worse than all of these. All of these are because these give way to what we want to do. They make a way for us to do what we want to do. The only reason you pledge was to get close to folks that can help you become what you're trying to become. You go consult a witch and use witchcraft to try to know something. My husband been slipping out. I need you to see in your crystal ball. Won't you just ask him? You done went in all in the shadows. Trying to find. That's too much. Yeah, that's too much moving around. Yeah. Greek gods and all this African voodoo and just everything. You using all of this stuff to make a way for yourself. That's idolatry. Exodus 23 and 13. And all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. And make no mention. You know, you can't pledge without mentioning the name of the other gods. Make no mention of the name of other gods. Neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Are y'all still with me? Summary! This was a good message. Sometimes we just need a good reminder so we can get stuff off of us. Amen. In the garden, the devil told Eve that God was capable of lying. That's what she did. He's capable of lying. Because he said that if we eat, then we should surely die. Oh, no, you're not going to surely die. He wasn't telling you the truth about that. Yeah. When the devil told Eve that God was capable of lying, he attempted to bring God down to Eve's level. He told her that she could be like a God. Right? You could be like God. So if you could be like God, so if man could be like God, then God must be like man. But a devil is a devil. Once Eve began to view God like man, she disobeyed and mankind fell. This is the same trick the enemy uses now, or is using now. If he can get you to believe that God is like a man, then the hurt, pain, and letdowns you've experienced from people will become a capability of God. And thus, you cannot see him for who he really is. God is not a man. He said, I'm not a man that I can lie. Look at somebody say, God cannot lie. You know, you let down when somebody lies. Most trauma is attributed to somebody that lied. They said they was going to do something, didn't do it. They said it was going to be this way. It ended up another way. They lied. But look at somebody and say, God is not a man that he should lie. He cannot lie. It's impossible. Do you know it's impossible for God to lie? You know why? Because what he says is always the truth, because he is the Word and Creator together in one. Now, if you're the Word and Creator together in one, this means that what he speaks is created and whatever existed prior conforms to what he just said. That's lie proof. You can't lie if you're the word and creator together, because your words create what you said. So lying is impossible for God when all things conform to what he speaks. God is above us and should always be magnified. This means that we keep him bigger than ourselves and our situations, circumstances, and dilemmas. Keeping God great gives us hope that things can change. Why would I want God to be a man? I don't need man capabilities. I am a man. I don't need a man to be, you know what I'm saying? I need a God. I need God capabilities. I don't need manpower. I'm a man. I'm a man. You knew that was coming. But I don't need that. I need God power. I need power greater than mine. I need power greater than yours. So why would I bring God down to my level? Keeping God great gives us hope that things can change. Keeping God magnified keeps him above our abilities when we need a way out of no way. Keeping God wondrous builds an expectancy of a powerful result when our carnal means cannot yield it. We must keep God God in order to truly serve him. So we must denounce all ties with any other God or God-like desires. Not just physical ones, but the God-like desire in your heart. We must denounce all ties. We must break every soul tie we have with anyone that serves other gods. Amen. So that our hearts will not be turned away from God. We must cancel all of our godless plans and desires and fall in love with the will of God for us. This is hard. Look at somebody say, this is hard sometimes. Ooh, I'm not saying it's easy. Not at all. It's hard when you have seen failure in those that led you. And it's hard when you've experienced trauma at the hands of those that said they were sent by God. It's especially hard when you have fashioned your life around what you felt was best for you. See, that's what he wants you to give up. What you felt was best for you wasn't what he wanted for you. It's time to surrender your will and trust in the creator of you. Amen. Remember, he is the word, so your whole life can be changed by what he speaks about you. That means you give up what you said and go with what he said. Amen. Everyone stand to your feet. Psalms tells us, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. We get so used to saying these, we think of praise and worship. We think of clapping. We think of, you know, giving him adoration through physical means or whatever. But another way to really take this is magnifying him in you. Meaning giving up your whole will for his. That's what he wants from you today. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I want everything that God has for me. I don't want a part of it. I don't want a piece of it. And I'm tired of holding this little bit back. I want to give it all to God. If that's you, I wanted you to just come up and I'm going to pray with you. We're going to magnify the Lord, but we ain't going to make no noise doing it because this is going to be internal. We're going to magnify the Lord inside of us more, you know, and God will fill it up if you make room. So we come into the altar to make room. Make room. Take this out. Take that out. Move this out. Move that out. Rearrange this. Rearrange that. Make room for him. I don't want to be like these rappers and singers and just craziness mentioning his name on a whim. Make room for him. Magnify him. Magnify. Magnify. I want every blessing with my name on it. I want every blessing he has for me. I want every plan of his to be mine. I want every intention of his to be mine. I want to match my feelings with his. I want to match my words and what is spoken over me with what he says. I want to magnify him. I want to magnify him in me. Hallelujah. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. So shall I be safe from my enemies. Magnified, 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 magnified. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this message, this reminder. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this information that we needed to hear so that we can make more room for you. Father God, we are very, very comfortable in our existence. In 2024, we don't have to leave our house to have fun. We are so comfortable. We can sit on our couch and flick through reels for hours. We can just be totally entertained. We can just be on our phones texting. We can reach the whole world in seconds. God, we've just been chilling. And you want to disturb that. We owe you more than that. We owe you more than that. So we magnify you right now in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. We magnify you. We want you bigger in us, more of you in us. Father, we don't want to be like the world. We want to be yours, yours. And we know by being yours, we must do things your way. So, Father, every obstacle, every self-made plan, Father God, everything that we've done to try to secure our own future or whatever, God, we give it all to you right now. We give you everything. The things we considered precious that we wouldn't give to anyone, we give to you. God, we give you ourselves, our hearts, our minds, every area. Every space, every struggle, everything, we give it up right now. So you can have room to be magnified. Touch our hearts, magnified. Touch our minds. You be magnified. Come on, lift your hands up. Father God, fill us the more with your presence. Fill us, God, with your presence. Fill us with your will. Fill us with your desire. Fill us, God, with your feelings. Let us feel what you feel. Fill us. Remove that deficit. Remove that trauma. Remove what we went through, so that it doesn't cause us to make decisions and choose other things away from you. And Father God, fill us. Magnify yourself in us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and hug somebody and tell them, magnify the Lord this week. Make room for, magnify the Lord. Make room for him. Hallelujah. Y'all know God is not trying to put y'all in hell. Y'all know that, right? He don't want anybody to perish. Some of us grew up so hardcore Pentecostal. I mean, if we stepped on a bug, we'd have to repent and start warming up. Yeah. No, God is not trying to put you in hell. God wants you with him. So he sends you messages like this because he wants you with him.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.